well as W-2.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs, and you are listening to the Refresh radio broadcast right here in Cocoa, Florida, WMIE FM 91.5, 8:30 and 5 o'clock, and then also WWBC 1510 AM at 10:30. And we do thank you for listening today. Once again, we want to mention to you our special services that are coming up this Sunday with Armand and Bonnie Morales. I did go back and confirm that, yes, his wife's name is Bonnie. They are going to be with us. Armand sang with the Imperials for a lot of years. And if you listen to Southern gospel music, he had sung, I believe at one point in time, Jake Hess was a part of that group. And some other well-known Southern gospel singers came through. Some of the Blackwoods and Sherman Andrews and Russ Taff, and sang with all of those people. Jim Murray, Dave Wills. I think it was Dave Wills. And anyway, he's going to be with us. He's going to be ministering in song as well as preaching the word and sharing his testimony of how God healed both he and his wife of cancer. And so we are praying that God is going to touch people in a supernatural way. We encourage you to be a part of our service this Sunday morning, 10:30. I also want to remind you about the free video Bible school that is taking place tonight in our fellowship hall. The class meets from 6 to 9 p.m., and they are video recorded lessons. There's some discussion that takes place afterwards. So if you would like to learn more about the Word, learn more about God and being a child of God, we encourage you to come out and be a part of that. It's in the Fellowship Hall. Our church is located two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney, two blocks east of Tropical Trail in Merritt Island. So that runs from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. tonight. And then also coming up tomorrow is 11 a.m., our vintage worship service. And like I mentioned last week, and I don't know why I'd never mentioned this before, but if you've got some parents that are on up there that don't get out much, but they love Jesus, they loved going to church, we'd love to offer to have you bring them to Merritt Assembly of God. We're preaching right now out of the book of Isaiah on our Wednesday services, and singing and celebrating some of the songs that have been very impactful on people for generations now. By the way, since our last vintage service a week ago, Andre Crouch has been promoted into eternity, and he wrote a lot of songs that touched people's hearts. Well, that goes back almost 2 weeks ago now, but we do commend him for his impact on the kingdom of God. So today I want to take you back to Matthew chapter 6 once again. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And right now we are focusing on the very first part, the transition part there, from our relationship with God and our desire for His kingdom and His will to be done, to give us this day our daily bread. So we're focusing on the transition from the relationship to the provision that is birthed out of that relationship. And right now it says, give us this day our daily bread. And we've been talking for the past several broadcasts about how important that daily bread that we get, part of that is that we receive from God is life itself, not just life, but abundant life, eternal life. And we are very thankful for that. Now, today, when we are talking about give us this day our daily bread, and I continue to want to emphasize the corporate aspect of it. You've got to get a vision beyond yourself, in that it's about more than just getting your needs met. At Merit Assembly of God, we are not just about paying the bills. We are about advancing the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We want everybody to have the opportunity to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But everybody has needs, and you and I, as a body of believers, we are need meters through Jesus Christ. And so I want to take you back to the book of Exodus right now, because when it starts talking about give us this day our daily bread, you go all the way back to Exodus chapter 16, where Moses is leading the children of Israel. They have come out of Egypt. They have just seen the Egyptian army vanquished. They have sung the song of Moses and the song of Miriam. God has turned the bitter waters sweet. He has brought them to an oasis in the desert. And then in chapter 16, they begin to complain because there's not a Publix close by. Verse number 1, it says, "And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, 'Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.'" First thing I want to mention to you about this is their perception was flawed. Their perception about what they were doing in Egypt, they had already encountered some short-term memory lapses, if you will, because they were not just sitting around pots of meat and eating bread until they were satisfied. They were slaves. They were into hard labor. They were out there threshing straw, and they were making bricks, and they were construction workers. They were forced, compelled into labor, and if they didn't work hard enough, they were beaten for it. Let me tell you, what they are describing here with their words is an inaccurate perception. You and I, sometimes we begin to glamorize or utopize, I don't even know if that's a word, but treat yesterday as if it was some sort of utopia, that it was absolutely perfect, and now God has brought us into this current mess that we're in. And I want you to know that God never brings you into a mess. He will bring you into a situation where He will demonstrate and reveal to you greater things than you have ever seen. What the children of Israel were getting ready to experience, no one else on the planet had ever experienced. And so what they begin to verbalize, however, is they verbalized their distrust for God and His motives and His leading and direction in their life. What they said is, the reason that God brought us out here, that Moses is leading us in this wilderness, He brought us out here so He could kill us. And that is not the heart of God. I want to remind you again, whatever you are going through right now, do not use this tongue as an assault weapon against God. Do not use it to blaspheme. Blaspheme is a fancy word. It simply means this: to speak evil of. And a lot of times when we don't understand things, we speak evil about them. We complain, we criticize, we murmur, we slander those who are making decisions, and we do not have any idea or any concept of what is going on. And so these people began to describe that what God wanted to do was bring him out into the wilderness so he could kill him. They had forgotten already about the Egyptian army. If God had wanted them killed, all he would have had to have done was move the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire out of the way, and the Egyptian army would have taken care of that. If he had wanted to kill them, he would not have dried up the Red Sea. He would have just left it there. They would have been between the rock and a hard spot. It would have taken care of it. It's the same way with Elijah. When he heard Jezebel's threats, he began to run away and began to ask God to kill him. And if he was wanting to die, all he had to do was stay put. Jezebel would have accommodated him. And so that is not the heart of God. God, as we described in yesterday's broadcast, God wants you to have abundant life. And so he has set them up so that in verse number 4, it says this: "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily.' Then Moses and Aaron said to the children, 'At evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord, but what are we that you complain against us?' Also Moses said, 'This shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full, for the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord.'" And so I just want to stop for just a moment there. Be careful when you are complaining, because when you think you're addressing your complaints to one person, God may actually have a different perception of that. And if you are complaining about a person that he has created as an authority in your life, then he assumes, or he not doesn't assume, he receives that as complaining against him. If you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, that is actually what Adam said. "It is the woman that you gave me. She is the one to blame. And by the way, you are the one who gave her to me, so I hold you responsible for this sin that I just chose to participate in." So be careful when you loose your tongue and let it start flying off with complaints. As I've talked about, Job said, "I loathe my life, therefore I voice my complaint and speak out of the bitterness of my soul." I'm not quoting that correctly. But he basically says, "I hate my life with God in control of it, and therefore I am going to loose my tongue and I'm going to give free rein to my complaint, because I could do a better job of leading my own life than God is doing at this point in time." And so I just want to challenge you to that, because that's not true. You and I have all adequately demonstrated throughout the years that, left to our own devices, we are capable of leading ourselves into a serious, serious mess. So let's go back to verse number 9. "Then Moses spoke to Aaron, 'Say to the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints.' Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God.'" When we cry out, "Give us our daily bread, God answers that request with this motive in mind, that at the end of the day, we will recognize, we will proclaim, we will believe, we will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He is God, that He is Lord, and that He is our God, that He is providing for us. So let me take you down just a little bit. Well, let's go ahead in verse number 13. So it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. By the way, that's what manna means. It means, what is it? And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded you. Let every man gather it according to each one's need, one omer for each person, according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent." Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. And so when they measured it by omers, he gathered much and had nothing left over. And he who gathered little had no lack. Each man had gathered according to each one's need. There was another purpose that God had expressed. We read it in an earlier verse, and that was this, that God was telling them how they were supposed to gather this manna up so that he would know, and not that he would know necessarily, but that they would know whether they would obey God or not obey God. You see, God's not going to ask you to jump off a cliff to prove your obedience. He's going to ask you to do something small first. And once you have demonstrated faithfulness to obey in that which is small, then he is going to give you something greater. You see, he is looking to reveal his faithfulness. When we start talking about God giving us the opportunity to be faithful, we are actually being set up by God to see his faithfulness to a greater dimension than we have ever seen it before. There's a scripture that says, to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. And so if I have been faithful to God in my spirit, then God is going to be faithful to me. I'm going to see him faithful in the spirit realm. If I'm faithful to him physically, I'm going to see his faithfulness in the realm of my physical body. If I have been faithful to him by honoring the covenant that I have with my wife, I'm going to see him. He's going to reveal his faithfulness in the covenant that he has made to me. If I am faithful to him in the area of my finances, then he is going to reveal to me his faithfulness in the area of my finances. Right now, I wish there was somebody in here to shout amen, because that's pretty good preaching. And the other thing I want, if you are faithful on the job to do your job to the glory of God, God is going to be faithful with that which he has promised that he would do on your behalf. You will see his faithfulness. You will see the glory of God. If you have been committed with the responsibility of training up children in the way that they should go, and you have been faithful to do that, then God is going to reveal himself as faithful to train you up in the way that you should go. I believe it is a very sad thing if we as Christians get to a place where we never want to learn anything. Today, I don't have to think back very far at all to something that I found myself having to do. I am not equipped to do it. It is not a passion in my life. It is not something that is in my skill set. It was basically something that I had to do by trial and error. But when God is working with you, the errors are a lot less, the trials are a lot less burdensome, and the victories are a lot more sweet. So I just encourage you, whatever it is, to demonstrate your faithfulness in the area of obedience. If he tells you to do something, by all means do it, because when you respond in obedience, you are going to have God reveal to you faithfulness. He is going to demonstrate and allow you to see just how faithful he is to his word. Now, there is a misperception about this particular manna that the children of Israel gathered every morning. Now they did not gather it on the Sabbath. They gathered twice as much on the day before, but they literally had to process this. First of all, when they were crying out for bread, God said, okay, I'm going to give you. And by the way, it was bread from heaven. It was something that came out as a result of the glory of God being manifest. In the New Testament, we learn that this bread from heaven was actually a manifestation of the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. Give us this day our daily bread. And so it not only has a reality to the tangible food that we eat, but it also has a manifestation in that this was a gift of God giving to us himself. It was the bread of heaven. It was sufficient to feed the entire multitude, not just the feeding of the 5,000 or the feeding of the 4,000, not just the feeding of the disciples with the fish that Jesus had already prepared for them on the shore, but it was a multitude that numbered into more than likely the millions of people, and he fed them with manna every morning for 40 years. But they had a role in this process. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are not just there with our hands out. God is looking for us to get involved and to partner with him in the process. It begins to describe this situation or manna. In verse number 31, it says, "And the house of Israel called its name manna, and it was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey." Now, I don't know what coriander seed tastes like, but I do know what honey tastes like, and it's good. And a collection of this manna was actually put into the Ark of the Covenant to be kept as a testimony for generations to come. So the children of Israel, they had to go gather it. They had to bring it in. They had to prepare it. They had to grind it. They had to make it into cakes, whether they, however they were cooking it that day, they had to process it. So many people are looking right now for the free handout that they do not have to do anything to do. They don't have to do anything to be involved in the process. They just have to walk out their door, get it, and then walk back. And I just want to declare to you that if you are an able-bodied person, that you are supposed to be actively working. You are supposed to be doing something. I don't understand people who just sit on their thumbs and don't do anything that are capable of doing it. I know a whole lot of people who have physical limitations that either are out there doing as much as they can, or they are looking to do as much as they can. Either they're already doing it, or they would love to be doing it. You see, I had a friend that when I was growing up, he had had an accident, and he was left paralyzed. Not my friend, but my friend's dad. But you know what I remember about him was that he did not let that stop him from being productive. He had his own business that he continued to function. He continued to be a productive member of society. Was life hard? Absolutely. Did it have its challenges? Absolutely. But he said, you know what? My hands might not work real well. His legs, to the best of my knowledge, didn't work at all. As far as I can remember, he was pretty much paralyzed from the waist down, but his mind worked very well. I've got another friend of mine that's in a similar situation and is very, very, very good at the job that he does. And so very, very thankful for that. you today, as we are crying out and praying, give us this day our daily bread, recognize and understand that along with God's gift is going to come some involvement on our part. And so today I just encourage you that if you're just sitting around waiting for your ship to come in, you know, I was from Oklahoma and it's a landlocked state. You can get there by barge, but you've got to go up to Mississippi, up to Arkansas, and it's quite a journey. And the thing about it was if I was looking for a ship, I would want something bigger than the barges that I saw coming through there. And so as God is providing for you and I daily, we've got to recognize that we've got a role to play in this. Now, I want to close today's lesson on verse number 35. And the children of Israel ate manna 40 years until they came to an inhabited land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. I want you to see that the God who was faithful to the Jewish people as they came out of Egypt for 40 years, they never starved. Their clothes did not wear out. Their sandals did not wear out. God miraculously provided for them on a daily basis. And he will do the same for you and for me. He is a faithful God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. He is no respecter of persons. Today, if you will be walking with him and say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Here's what I know. God will make sure that you are taken care of. He will provide naturally, and he will provide supernaturally for you. I'll close with a testimony. I've got a daughter. She's now an adult, but before she was even born, I was working in a job, the job that brought me to Florida. And in the middle of the pregnancy, my job ended unexpectedly. In a matter of 6 weeks, we went from everything going great to, you know what, we're going to be shutting our doors. And God demonstrated in those early years of our marriage his faithfulness to me, my family. We never starved. We may not have always eaten the best food, but God always took care of us, and I know he will take care of you. Father, I just want to thank you today that when we ask you, give us this day our daily bread, you have a proven track record that you are able to open up the windows of heaven if necessary to make sure that your people are taken care of. Lord, you take care of the sparrows and all the creatures of the field, and I know that these are worth more than any of those animals. Lord, we bless you. We honor you. Give today our daily bread. We'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."